Passage we'll be looking at with Palm Sunday coming up is from the Gospel of Luke, starting in chapter 19 and verses 28 through 44. And the scripture reads as follows. After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he approached Bethpage and Bethany near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There, as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' But those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them. And they were untying the colt. Its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and brought Jesus on it. As he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out.' And when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known in this day, even you, the things which made for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." Over the last several weeks, there has been a lot of weeping taking place. We've had so many people who have lost lives because of the virus that is going around, and the family members and friends that are weeping for that loss. We have many of those who are working on the front lines that are filled with fear and anxiety that leads them to weep, not knowing whether or not they're going to be catching the virus, whether or not they're being exposed, whether they're going to bring it home to their families. And they're afraid of what may happen in the future because they have no idea whether or not they've been exposed. We have people that are weeping because they're losing their jobs, and people don't know where their paychecks are going to come from and where they're, you know, how they're going to be able to find groceries. And we have people just weeping over everything, everyday things that happen in life, in addition to everything else that has been added on top of that. Jesus is aware of what it means to weep, because in this passage of scripture, as he entered triumphantly into the city of Jerusalem and his disciples were giving him praise, when he saw Jerusalem, he wept over it. And in this passage of scripture, we discover some things that make Jesus weep. And those things that made him weep back when he saw the city of Jerusalem are still the things that make him weep and cry out today. And perhaps in the midst of all of this, Jesus is giving us an opportunity to learn about and identify those things which make him weep and be able to come before him and to come to him in repentance and come to him in humility and to see those things change in our lives. First thing that made Jesus weep is that Jesus offered peace and they wouldn't accept it. Jesus, as we said, had just made the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. The disciples were there and began to praise him in the loud voice, and they were shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And yet, while that was taking place, some of the Pharisees were rebuking Jesus and asking him to rebuke his disciples for simply standing there and praising Jesus, because they knew who Jesus was. They knew he was the Prince of Peace. They knew he was the promised Messiah. He knew that he had come for them and come in fulfillment of prophecy. And yet the Pharisees couldn't stand the thought of Jesus, the Son of God, being praised, and they rebuked, asked Jesus to rebuke the disciples. And then Jesus said, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. And then as he traveled farther, the scripture says that as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it. And that word for weeping means to burst into tears, as if somebody is weeping and crying out in a loud lamentation over somebody who's passed away, somebody who's died. Not just a simple crying, silent weeping, but a loud weeping after seeing the city of Jerusalem. And he was weeping over it because he was hurt that they did not know that Jesus had come to bring peace. He wanted them to see the peace that he had brought, to see the peace that he had offered, the reconciliation that he had offered between them and God. And now, not only did they not see it, but the scripture said that it had been hidden from their eyes. One of the things that's happening, I fear, that in the midst of the fear and the panic and the worry and the anxiety and the stress, is that people are not seeing that Jesus is still here to bring peace. But because of all of those things, it still seems to be hidden from so many people. And it breaks the heart of Jesus to see so many of the people for which he died to be to have peace with God through Jesus Christ, to see so many of the people not understand that Jesus is our peace. Because Jesus offers peace, and yet so many people won't accept Jesus. They won't accept the peace that he has to offer. They won't accept the hope that he has to give. Oswald Chambers, in his devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest, writes on this passage of Scripture, and he said, Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly, and the city was stirred to its very foundations. But a strange God was there, the pride of the Pharisees. It was a God that seemed religious and upright, but Jesus compared it to whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. What is it that blinds you to the peace of God in this your day? Do you have a strange God, not a disgusting monster, but perhaps an unholy nature that controls your life? More than once, God has brought me face to face with a strange God in my life, and I knew that I should have given it up, but I didn't do it. I knew I got through the crisis by the skin of my teeth, only to find myself still under the control of that strange God. I am blind to the very things that make for my own peace. It is a shocking thing that we can be in the exact place where the Spirit of God should be having his completely unhindered way with us, and yet we only make matters worse, increasing our blame in God's eyes. And how true that is for so many, that God has everyone in the exact place where the Spirit of God can be having his unhindered way with everyone, and yet we only make matters worse by not accepting Jesus as our peace, and the world not accepting Jesus as our peace, and letting those things that blind us to God get in our way to not have the peace that passes all understanding, even as we're traveling through the midst of this crisis and the midst of this trial. Jesus wept because he offered peace and they wouldn't accept it. But not only that, Jesus wept because he warned of danger, but they wouldn't heed the warning. The Jews wanted peace with a conquering king that was going to overcome and overthrow the government. And they rejected Jesus as the chosen one, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the one who had been promised in prophecy for hundreds of years. And as a result, their destruction was looking ahead in this passage of Scripture. For the days will come upon you. And here Jesus is talking about the destruction that's going to come in the year 70 AD when the city of Jerusalem is destroyed. And he's talking about those days that will come upon them when the enemies are going to throw up a barricade, they're going to surround them, they're going to level them, and all of these things will come because Jesus came to provide peace and they wouldn't accept it. And he was also there even now warning of the dangers that were to come, but they wouldn't heed the warning. Very similar to the warnings that were given to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so many people did not take heed to the warning, and so much destruction took place. So many warnings that have been given to America that America has not heeded, and destruction is coming. He had warned them to turn. He had warned them to repent, to do that which seeks for peace, but they didn't heed the warnings. And God has given America a series of warnings, and America has left a trail, or unheeded warnings have left a trail of damaged lives that are going to lead to destruction. The scripture reminds us to take heed lest we fall. Jesus warned that that danger was coming, and they didn't heed the warnings. And he continues through his word to warn us that as we when we turn away from him and we don't seek him and we don't pray and we don't turn back to him and we don't seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, that things are going to happen that are going to be an abomination before God, that are going to be unholy and unrighteous before him. And he's giving us this opportunity in these days to realize that God is in control and he has a plan, and he's given us an opportunity to be warned about the dangers and to turn back towards him. So not only does Jesus weep because he offered peace and they wouldn't accept it. He warned of danger, but they wouldn't heed the warnings. And then Jesus confirmed the presence of God, and it was ignored. They had wanted for the coming of the Messiah, and everything pointed to Jesus. The prophecies had said that Jesus was coming. Everything pointed to Jesus being the Messiah, and everything pointed to those prophecies being fulfilled. But in the words of John chapter 11, verse 1, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. God was present in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he was there, present in the flesh, God himself in Jesus Christ, and he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And so much of what happens that leads to destruction, that leads to ruined lives, is because people don't know that God has visited them. And now is the time that we have to let people know that God is here now, that Jesus has come and he's coming again, and that Jesus is our hope, that Jesus is our peace, that Jesus is our victory, and he is our only source of hope for life. And in that, I'm reminded of that wonderful hymn and praise song that we sing, and the words seem so eerily appropriate for these days. The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent, and no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors, in the courtroom no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming, the king is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. And he is coming, and he is coming again, and he wants as many of us to be with him. And he is God present, God here, God with us. But that presence is often ignored, and it breaks Jesus' heart, and it makes him weep. Those things that make Jesus weep, he offers peace to a lost and hurting world, and yet they won't accept the peace. They will try to find peace in any other way possible, through riches, through experiences, through all that the world has to offer, and yet the peace that they seek, that they can't find anywhere else, is right there in front of them, and now it's hidden from them. Jesus warned that danger was coming, and they wouldn't heed the warning. The warning signs are there. The warning signs are here right now, and we have an opportunity to heed the warning as believers and to tell others to heed the warnings as well. And then Jesus confirmed God's presence. He is God's presence, but it was ignored. And it's time to realize that we don't need to ignore God's presence. In this time, He is calling us back to Himself. He is calling us back to be present with Him, drawing us back to His heart, drawing us back to seek His face and to turn from our wicked ways. And we have an opportunity as a nation to be able to come before God and to know that He is God and He is present, and to not ignore Him, but to receive that which He has to offer in eternal life, and for those of us that have eternal life to be able to share that good news of hope and peace with a lost and hurting world. Let's pray. Father, we know that there is so much that is going on in our world today that is breaking Your heart and is making Jesus weep. And Father, You are using these opportunities in the days ahead to make our hearts sensitive towards You, to perhaps break our hearts before You, so that all of those unnecessary things that keep us from loving You the way that we could disappear, that we might recapture and regain that pure heart of love and faith for You. And that You might ignite our hearts in such a way where the lost around us see that we are on fire for Jesus. And when they are in need of peace and are in need of hope and are in need of knowing that there is an answer for today, that we can provide that answer and tell them to turn to Jesus. Father, You are so good towards us and You are so patient towards us. And Father, we love You and we thank You for the eternal life that is ours in Jesus Christ, for those who have accepted and received and believed in Him. And Father, we pray that all of those who are hurting, that are lost, that are anxious, that are fearful, that do not know where the answers lie, will turn their hearts towards Jesus Christ and will come to know Him as Savior and as Lord for Your honor and for Your glory, as we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.